Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Big Bros Wrestling Podcast. I'm your co-host, Andrew.
And I'm your co-host, Alex. This is the podcast where we take all things wrestling throughout the week, any big news, which I don't think there was any. We take all the shows. We'll take Raw. We'll take Dynamite. We take SmackDown. If there's something exciting on NXT, which there was this week, we'll talk about that. We did have Roadblock. And we just, you know, we break it down, we write it down, we give our thoughts and opinions about it. But before we talk about any wrestling, how you doing, man?
I've been all right. Yeah, just going through life. Yeah, getting through
Same
it.
Same here.
Yeah.
Working. That's all I do. That's all I do. Mm-hmm. No, I work and then I do, and I just chill at home. But there was that. We have no big news, like I said, other than in wrestling, but we had NFL free agency hit.
Yeah.
A lot of big things happening there. Any other big sports things? We're about to get to March Madness.
Yeah, it's March, baby.
March Madness. I know you're big. You're Iowa. Are they still in their tournament?
No. Who'd
they lose to?
We won our first game.
That was Ohio State, right?
Yes. Who we lost to earlier in the year by a good margin.
But you beat them.
And then we beat them in the first round of the tournament, and then we fell to Illinois
Thursday. At least you were in the tournament. My team was not. Good old NC State. Which, getting into that, I was talking to one of my bosses. It's ridiculous that there's so many teams now that some teams don't even get to play because of how they do it. Which I think there's a very, very easy fix to do this. You could still do the tournament in 5 days this way. You have all 18 teams play.
Yeah.
Only the top two seeds get a bye. None of this. The top four get two byes and then some more get byes. It's like, nope. 3 through 18 play, and then they go play this. You can figure out how 1 and 2 play, but just do, because you can do, because if you do the first 4 games, round 1, the second 4 games, round 2, because it's going to be 8 games in the first round, and then the second round is like, 4, 2, then it's like, and then it just goes back down to how it should be. There you go. But I could go on a rant about that. We do have... Oh, I forgot the PLEs. We had Revolution last week.
Yes, we had Revolution.
Let's get into that. They did add a couple pre-show matches, which... Cool.
It was pre-show
matches. Obviously, if there's a pre-show, it's not that big of a deal. But the first one, we had Commander and Hologram defeat Lee Johnson and Blake Christian. Cool. Blake Christian looks like he would be named Blake Christian.
Yeah.
In real life, that's not, because that's not his actual name, but looks like he would be named Blake Christian. In another match, we have Daniel Garcia and the Undisputed Era, the Kingdom, defeating Shane Taylor Promotions. Cool. I guess they'll do something later. But the one pre-show match, everyone was excited for it. Getting everyone to watch Big Boom AJ and the Conglomeration facing off Johnny TV and MXM Collection. Don't forget Big Justice and the Rizzler are there.
Uh-huh.
I still remember last time Big Boom was there. The Rizzler came out to be the special guest timekeeper.
Yeah.
And they sent him out with Big Show.
With Paul White. It was the funniest thing coming out.
And it's like the Rizzler came up to like his kneecap. Oh my gosh. Like literally, Rizzler had to have his hand straight up.
Yeah.
And Paul White had to have his hand straight down. It's like, alright, here we go.
Yeah, Lee, it was funny.
Oh my gosh, but Big Boom and the Conglomeration won.
Big Justice got in. He gave a powerbomb to who was
Big Justice?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Big Justice is the middle kid. Yeah, he's the older kid. I would say if the Rizzler came in,
it was Mansoor that he gave the powerbomb to. That was cool.
How old is Big Justice? He's 11?
That's outrageous.
Oh my God. He's a big boy. He looks older than 11.
Absolutely.
I thought he was like 15.
Yeah, easily. At youngest, almost.
Oh my goodness. But that goes straight into the main card. Yes. The first match we have is Hangman Adam Page versus MJF. You knew that was going to be a good match. They're both really good. Mm-hmm. MJF, great heel work. Did you see the one where he just popped his crotch in his face? I was like, oh, okay. All right, MJF. Yeah. But Hangman picks up the win. MJF can eat a loss. He's a
With him,
he can easily eat a loss and nothing will really happen to him.
Yeah, he'll be back. We'll see him, whoever. We'll get to that. Yeah.
After that, we had Mercedes Moné defending her title against Momo Watanabe for the TBS Championship. I mean, I think we both correctly predicted this one. It was obvious that she was going to win. It's like, she needs a big, big name to come after her. Mm-hmm. Maybe, is Britt Baker still there?
She already went. I think they already had their feud.
I think with that, they probably jumped the gun with Britt Baker. Because now it's a lot of people who are like, who? Not saying Momo is a nobody, but like, kind of, I don't know.
I know, it's a, they're building it up, but I mean, I agree, they do need like a big superstar kind of name at this point that will be even reasonable for her to lose.
As far as I know, AEW doesn't really have, other than Toni Storm and Mariah May, and they're in their own little...
And they're in the world, they're in the other women's titles.
They're in the, that's the world title. This is like, TBS is the secondary title.
Yeah.
So, I don't think they're going to get any other people back from... I don't think they're going to get anyone from WWE. Becky Lynch is a big no. They've already teased her so much coming back to the WWE.
Yeah.
She's definitely going to be a Raw after Mania type deal.
At this point, if they don't already have her... They would already have her if they were... or
yeah,
if
they were going they would have had her scheduled Mania. For something. But there's no one really. So, we'll see. After that, we had Swerve Strickland against Ricochet and a number one contender for the world title.
Yep.
Didn't at some point Prince Nana walked out on Swerve in this match? I think I saw that.
I could, if that
I
happened,
think I saw I that. I may be wrong, but I was wrong about this one. Swerve Strickland picks up the win,
gets his revenge.
Which I'm not. I don't like for Ricochet, because now I think he's just going to get thrown into mid-card nothingness, like they did with WWE. It's like, dude, you just made a lateral move at this point. But okay. After that, we have Kazuchika Okada facing off Brody King for the AEW Continental Championship. I again got this one wrong, because Okada pit. Retained successfully against Brody King. Again, I can't really talk about much of these matches because we didn't watch it.
Just what I feel like with this, Okada, it just seems like he's going to hold that. He's another one. He's just going to hold that title for a while. I don't know if it's the EVP thing. I don't know what it is.
But it's also... Well, no, I'm not paying $50, $60 to watch a pay-per-view.
There is also that.
I'm not paying that. I'm sorry, AEW. I'm not paying. Unless I might do that for All In.
Yeah, that's sure, like the only one I'll do. Yeah.
But like not this one. We have the Hurt Syndicate facing the Outrunners for the... They were defending against the Outrunners for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. Which I got right.
Yeah.
Finally, I got one right.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just thought they've just got it. They're not going to have them lose it already. They'll hold it to all of these All In, in my opinion. But.
Well, I mean, I don't know a lot of other tag teams they're building up that much out there.
Yeah. Well, I said at least All In.
Yeah.
Who knows?
We
have Timeless Toni Storm facing against Mariah May and a Falls Count Anywhere match for the AEW Women's World Champion. Oh, I saw this one was a brutal match. This
was beautiful. There was color. There was everything. All that. They had the shoe, of course. They were going after each other. Man, it was...
And the fall did not happen in the ring.
Yeah.
I saw that, which I'm like, thank you. That's what a false count anywhere match is for.
Yeah, that's what we're expecting. And
when I see false count anywhere, I'm like, okay, if it happens anywhere, it happens in the ring, I'm upset. Because that's not a false count anywhere. Yeah, that doesn't count.
I mean,
you have to do it anywhere but the ring.
Because when you put that stipulation you're expecting
it to happen, anywhere. Yeah. It could happen in the parking lot, and right there and on the stage where she pinned her. Anywhere. I'm glad they did that.
But yeah, I also added to just the Hollywood ending. I loved that.
I also saw, like, when they were at the end of it, it literally said the end on the screen. Yes. So, like, that's the end of their shot. The end of the story line before them. So now, timeless Toni Storm is going to go to probably a new story. Who knows who's going to go after it now? We'll see. We had Kenny Omega versus Konosuke Takeshita for the International Champion.
Yes.
And I heard, like, Kenny Omega hasn't lost a step.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously something that I'm sure a lot of people were talking about, him coming off his injury. Is he 100%? I'll be honest, I had some issues here. I was like, is he at that point in his career where he's kind of on the decline and maybe...
No,
after this injury...
He's still in his prime. He's only 41.
Well, I'm just thinking, like...
He can still go for a little while.
I just didn't know what to think after this injury. And then he comes back and then...
And does this. By the way, one of the best entrance themes for Battle Cry.
Absolutely. I agree.
Such a good one. And I was correct. He took down Takeshita, and he's your new international champion.
And this also, I saw, makes him the first ever AEW Grand Slam champion.
Because he's won the tag titles.
Yes.
He won the world title. Won international. Has he won the Continental? He hasn't won the Continental, has he?
This is what Wikipedia is saying. It's saying he beat Takeshita to become the first ever AEW Grand Slam champion.
You might have to win just one of them.
So it's saying he won the world title,
the
international title, the tag title, and the trios title. That's what they're
the trios.
That's
they're what not they're, counting. Okay, so they're not. They're probably counting the Continental and the International, you got to get one of them. Since there's only one world title. But there's also the TNT title, which people have forgotten about.
I know, yeah.
Because you know who has it, right?
It's
Daniel Garcia.
That's right, it's Daniel, yeah.
Daniel Garcia has it. It's like, has he defended it recently?
I know, and it was relevant whenever Christian Cage had it, but then
he did make it relevant, and now Daniel Garcia just hasn't done anything with it, but oh well. We have next, which most people would say was match of the night. Will Ospreay, Kyle Fletcher.
Oh, man.
In a steel cage. And when they do steel cages, they don't mess around. There's weapons.
No, they don't.
There's blood. There's color.
The Swerve Hangman one
a
couple of months. Maybe not a couple months ago.
The syringe everything in that. I'm like, dear God.
This one.
But one of the moments I remember. Okay, you know, whenever I watch wrestling, I hate thumbtacks. Every time I see it, I squirm. I'm like, no. Because they get stuck in you and you can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, ow. When they got the thumbtacks out, I was like, no.
Yeah.
And then they did the Styles Clash.
Onto it, yeah.
I was like, no. No.
Mm-hmm.
And he still didn't get the win for that. I was like, Jesus Christ. And just at the end of it, the storytelling, this match, Fletcher just say, I hate you! I hate you! I hate you! Screw you! And then just the...
Yeah.
Hidden Blade, Tiger Driver 97. I wish I could go watch this match. I need to watch this match.
Yeah, the... Oh, man.
I need to watch this match.
Yeah, one of the matches is definitely...
Oh, man. And now we have the main event of the night.
Yeah.
John Moxley defending his title against Edge. I'm not calling him Cope. For the AEW World Championship. For what I heard, it was a pretty good match. Not the best match, obviously. You can't top Fletcher. And
I know, yeah. That's just seeing how this was having to follow that Fletcher Ospreay match.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're not setting him up very well. But at some point during the match, Christian Cage comes in and cashes in his, what was it called? His casino gauntlet cash in match.
Money in the Bank.
Basically, their Money in the Bank. He's cashing in to make it a triple threat match. Or what they call a three-way. It's a triple threat. Yes. So now it's a triple threat for the AEW World title. I did see at one point John Moxley did a curb stomp to Edge. He did a curb stomp.
Yeah.
Like this is showing that, like, hey man, we're still buds. Even though I'm here. Oh man. But your winner and still AEW World Champion is John Moxley.
I think I know one of the storylines coming into this was Wheeler Yuta walking out on Moxley, and Moxley's we were just like,
did you do that during the match or is that before?
No, this was on the Dynamite before.
Oh, I forget about
it. He walked out and I was like, Moxley has no one. What does this mean? And then I think, like, even during the match, Wheeler Yuta, he came in and was still with the Death Rider, so that wasn't anything. But
I did see, like, after the match, people were all, as Edge was still in the ring, they're all singing his song, like, we love you, Edge. Also, could this be the end of Cope? I think he needs to retire.
Yeah,
I think this was your last chance. You just need to say, hey, I'm done. Because he's 51. He's in great shape for a 51-year-old.
Yeah, and
but you are at the point where it's like, hey, you're a dad. Not saying that should hold you back, but like, you're 51, you've already had all these injuries before, you just came back from a broken leg. Like, you haven't broken your neck again, which you've done twice. Almost. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, he did it once and he almost did it again. Really, for me, there's nowhere else to go for you, dude.
Yeah, I mean,
you could win the world title, but like, wouldn't feel good because you know that reign's going to be short.
Yeah, that is.
I don't want him to have a short reign. I don't want him to have a reign at all. I want him to, like, dude, just go retire, be with their family, enjoy, do a WWE Legends contract, which I know you're going to want to do once you're done with AEW.
Yeah, I mean, there's wrestlers that were with AEW that have come back, and like, because wasn't it like Mark Henry?
Yeah,
he went on a recent.
Because he went to AEW, and then he was done with them, and then he came back to WWE. Because obviously, if he's with AEW, they're not going to show him.
Yeah.
But I was really surprised and a little. Like, why? Like, why are you going to AEW? You've already proven you don't need to do anything more.
Well, I think he said it when he went there, was that he wanted to, well, I guess, broaden his horizons or whatever. He's saying, like, he wanted different opponents because, I mean, there is only so much you can, opponents you have in WWE.
Yeah, he says that. And then what did they do? Almost immediately, like, literally immediately. They put him against Christian Cage.
They did.
It's like, you want new opponents, yet you're going against
They did get Luchasaurus and Nick Wayne involved. So there was
they did.
That. And then
he's had other storylines, but like I think he should retire.
And just how the timelines went up, just this thing with Moxley is a whole new
when someone said that, I was like, wait, what? It's like they looked at it. Edge retired in 2011. He originally retired in 2011. Moxley came back in 2012. He left WWE in early 2019. Edge returned in 2020.
Yeah, so it's like just how the time was. They've never really been.
They've never been in the WWE at the same time. Like, they may have been like. Edge was like. He was a legend at the time, but they never had a match.
Yeah.
And so far. Oh. Did you know that Seth Rollins is the only one he's beaten?
Who's Edge? Beaten? Oh.
He didn't beat Roman. And he didn't beat Moxley. That's something Edge can hold above him. Like, oh, you're the only... The other two's like, hey, at least we beat Edge. It's like...
Yeah.
Oh, that's mean. But... I can't really rate this.
Yeah, I agree.
Since I didn't watch it.
There were some awesome matches, though, especially towards the end of the card.
I mean, we've seen the clips.
Yeah.
There's plenty of clips from them from this. But we didn't watch the match. We watched this pay-per-view, but... I mean, I guess I don't really have anything else. You have anything you want to add?
No, that's all I got.
That's all of Revolution. Let's move on to Monday Night Raw. We are in Madison Square Garden.
MSG, baby.
MSG. Whatever that stuff is that Asian people use, the MSG.
Oh.
Well, it's very prominent in Asian culture that they use that because it makes the food taste really good. That's why that's why Chinese food tastes so good. But... Yeah. That we go to the arena concourse and main event, Jey Uso is there and he's getting the crowd hyped up. He comes in. And so Andrew Schultz is at ringside.
Yeah,
Did you see? Someone said they look the same. That showed Andrew Schultz and then it showed a picture of Simon Gotch from the Vaudevillains.
Oh, gosh.
Do you know who that is?
I'm trying to think. It's Escape.
I'm showing you.
Yes, I did see that photo. Yeah. Yeah.
They look exactly the same. It's hilarious. But that pretty much goes straight into the first match. There's no opening promo, just a match.
Which is good.
We get Jey Uso versus Grayson Waller. And yes, that is good. I like it when they do a match and not...
It's been a bit since we've... I think SmackDown even. It's been a bit since we've had like... Oh, an opening match. An actual opening match. Not like, oh yeah, the first match of the night.
Match. But they have what looks like a pretty good match. I mean, Jey Uso is good. Grayson Waller's like, I think he's pretty underrated in my opinion.
Yeah.
They have a great match, which Jey Uso picks up the win. But not for long. He celebrates. Austin Theory attacks him. Wow, what a surprise.
Also, yeah, after last week and all that, yeah.
Uso fights back, but Waller attacks him, but behind. A-10 under, beat him up. Waller charges, but Uso gives him a back body drop over the top rope. Uso then tucks a clothesline from the Theory and blah, 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 blah. Uso heads up to the top rope and connects with the Uso splash. As he gets up, Gunther comes into the ring and puts him in a sleeper hold. Gunther puts him to sleep. There. And he just, Gunther stands tall. It's going to be a long build-up for WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, we got a couple weeks left.
This is why last year, I liked it when it was like, oh, is he going to pick this one or this one? When they announced it like that, I was like, well, now we have to do like 2 months of build-up. Which I'm not against, but you really have to do it the right way. We'll see what they do. They talk about CM Punk and Seth freaking Rollins in a steel cage match that night. And it just, you know, later it just shows them both getting ready. They go to the trainer room and main event, Jey Uso is getting iced up and Alpha Academy go to check on him. And then they show off the exclusive Travis Scott Cactus Jack collaboration shirt. I didn't see that. Did it look good?
Well, it had the photo. it had the photo of the three of them in the ring after attacking Cody Rhodes, and then it had the Cactus Jack logo. I didn't think it looked bad, necessarily.
I'm trying to... Oh, well. But, after that, we have Logan Paul addressing AJ Styles, which it is looking like it's going to be Logan versus AJ at WrestleMania. I think what they're doing now, it's going to be Braun versus Finn. I think that's what they're going to do now. But, you know, Logan Paul, he's just out there, like, talking like, blah, 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 I'm better than him. I'm a celebrity. That's what guys like Andrew Schultz come to see me. Talent recognizes talent. It's like, I don't think he's here to see you, buddy. Blah, 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 blah. Paul tells Schultz to let the people know why he came to MSG. Schultz says, I'm here to see the cage match. Paul asks who he came to see. Schultz says, Logan, nobody is here to see you. Schultz says, you're not in Cleveland. This is New York. A real city and a real arena. They like wrestlers. Schultz knows he wants to see. I want to see AJ Styles. Apparently that makes Paul really angry. Look at Paul being angry. He pulls Andrew Schultz over with a barricade. And Paul gets Schultz in the ring and sets up for a suplex. But then AJ Styles comes down and takes him out. Other stuff happens. They fight. Logan Paul tries to walk away. But Styles mentions that Paul claims to not run away from opportunities. Paul keeps walking away. And then Styles shouts that this is New York City. And he holds Andrew Schultz's arm up. Blah, blah, blah. Pretty much, it's like Logan Paul's trying to hype himself up. Like, Andrew Schultz, you're here to see me, right? It's like, no.
Yeah.
I'm here to see AJ Styles.
I mean, it was kind of cool that they had Andrew Schultz involved. I like it when they get, like, celebrities.
He's so funny.
Like, after the NBA players, they got Jalen Brunson and who wore the DX shoes the other night. And that shot the
What game team did they play for?
Is it
the Pacers?
Maybe.
Are you thinking of Tyrese Halliburton?
Yes, Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like it when they get them involved.
Yep. It's saying that later tonight, Michael Cole will interview women's world champion Io Sky. TKO gets involved in a boxing organization in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Cool. Freddie Roach, Hall of Fame boxing changer, is at ringside, and some other people. Talks about some other stuff. It's just really getting, like, talking about people and other stuff.
Yeah.
And we have a tornado tag team match between the New Day and the LWO with the New Day picking up the win.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was cool. I mean, I know it was people talking about Rey Mysterio. He went back to the baggy pants. People are saying it's, like, was, what, 2008 all over again, Rey Mysterio.
Oh, kind I of forgot. Thing. During this match... A masked luchador with American colors starts fighting him off. He does all this. He does a German suplex to Mysterio. And before they leave, he goes, Gracias! And, like, you can tell that's Chad Gable.
It was hilarious. Oh, man. It was awesome.
It's hilarious. But he... Security tries to get him, but he runs away. And then it gives the New Day the chance to pick up the win. They talk about what happened last week with Finn Balor and Bron Breakker. They're in the club. We're in the Judgment Day clubhouse, guys. Finn Balor is apparently he's furious. Bron Breakker's rubbing the wrong way. Carlito isn't listening to Balor. Carlito then says, John Cena is a bad guy. Can you believe that? Can you believe he's a bad guy? Liv Morgan and Raquel walk in with Dirty Dom. Morgan announces that Rodriguez is battling Bayley and the winner faces Lyra Valkyria. Mysterio then tells Balor he got him an Intercontinental Championship match against Bron Breakker next week. Balor embraces Mysterio, walks off. Mysterio says he believes in Balor. Morgan isn't so sure. They talk about WWE Evolve. Peter Rosenberg is there too. He's the voice of Evolve, and Macaulay Culkin is there.
Yeah.
Apparently he's a crowd favorite.
Yeah, the crowd pop, was it him or his brother?
No, it was him at Was it? No, it wasn't. No, it was. It was the Raw and Netflix debut.
That was, yeah.
His brother was when it was Punk versus somebody. Because it was right after he won the Golden Globe.
That's right. Like, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like 2 days after
he won the Golden. I do remember that. Yeah.
It's like, didn't you just like win an award? It's like, yeah, I won this.
Yeah. And then he's still, but that was the crazy thing.
Cody Rhodes comes out next. He's going to talk about John Cena.
Yes, John Cena.
Man, I will. You're
not Indy Piper.
You're not Randy Piper. You're not this. All right, I wish he could do more stuff with WWE. He's hilarious.
Well, I mean, I think the stuff he's doing, he does a lot of stuff with his
TNA.
He does with Ariana Grace, who is his daughter. When they do the NXT stuff, it's fun.
Man. Cody Rhodes comes out. I'm going to start talking about. So, New York City, what do you want to talk about? They talk about Cena sucks. He keeps talking about that. Apparently, it wasn't easy. This is the same John Cena that won the United States Championship but returned from a torn pec here in Madison Square Garden. That one was very big, but you heard about how he returned from that so quickly.
Yeah, we've talked about it before.
Nonstop.
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently, it was an easy decision. It's also easy to swing at someone after you kicked him in the nuts and had backup. Rhodes is not. I do not begrudge Cena for having a part-time schedule because a part-time Cena is better than a full-time someone else. What Rhodes does begrudge is that apparently they started the Cena. Let's go, Cena. Cena sucks.
All that.
Rhodes listens to it and says fun things happen when it's live on Netflix. He says. Rhodes sells like John Cena here, blah, 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 blah. Rhodes begrudged Cena for putting on social media. Have the discipline to do what it needs to be done, even if you don't feel like it. Because he put that. Because have you seen his Twitter?
Cena's Twitter? Yeah,
his Twitter is a lot different from his Instagram, obviously. His Instagram's hilarious. I love his Instagram.
Yeah.
But if you look at John Cena's Twitter. It's a form of thoughts and perspectives designed to ignite conversations and actions leading to growth and occasional self-promotion. And he literally, like, every other day, he'll put, like, an inspirational quote. Like, his most recent was climb the hill in front of you, or with practice, eventually you'll get it right. With enough practice, you'll never get it wrong. Life is not a spectator sport. Play accordingly. Time always vindicates good work. It's like, he puts out inspirational stuff.
Yeah.
But it was that one. He posted that Monday after the chamber. Have the discipline to do what needs to be done, especially when you don't feel like it. And people were like, buddy, what you mean by that?
Yeah.
So Rhodes asked if they have ever had a teacher or a mentor by whom they were challenged. At a certain point, you had to say, sit down, John. You gosh darn moron, but apparently he does not say that. And it's like, sir, this is a Wendy's. No one defined best for business better than John Cena. They know what's best for business. The business has changed. It's always tagging about stats. The delusional one is 17. It doesn't happen. Rhodes will have this heartbreaking opportunity to break his hero's heart in his last chance. Cena will find out. Cena will find out that I'm the captain now. And then he thanks Madison Square Garden and leaves. It's literally the, look at me. Look at me.
Yeah.
I am the captain now. Coming up next, we have Raquel Rodriguez battling Bayley. Cool. We have a video of backstage. A video of Jimmy Superfly Snuka battling Don Morocco in a steel cage match. Oh, it's just more about that. Ali On is at ringside. Who is that? Do you know?
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, there was a couple of celebrities that showed throughout the night.
We also see real estate agents from Selling the City.
I think that was a Netflix
probably. Show. They're excited to be on the Titan Trot. Rich the Kid. Finally, we see Amanda Serrano, who had a fantastic fight against Katie Taylor last year. Oh, that was that the controversial one?
No. Was it?
Because there was one very controversial one.
I don't think that was on the...
No, it was. It was.
Was that it?
Yes, it was. I'm pretty sure. Hold on. Paul versus Tyson. You can get the whole card. I'm almost positive that was the... It was. Yeah, that was the controversial one. That was the controversial.
That would make sense that they're having her on Netflix again then, yeah.
Yeah, that was the controversial one, because everyone thought Serrano won that fight, and not Katie Taylor. Dude, how are all of them... Dude, literally not a single match was won by, like, TKO. They were all decision.
Yeah, I mean, that's sometimes what you get. That's the unfortunate part of, like, combat sports.
Anyway. Okay, but moving on. Next week, they do that. Next week on Raw, Cody Rhodes and John Cena will be in the same building. It'll be in Brussels, Belgium. It'll air live at 3 p.m. Eastern in the United States. Yeah! Number one contenders match for the Women's Intercontinental Champion is Raquel Rodriguez versus Bayley. We can talk about it if we want, but we're not really, because Raquel Rodriguez picks up the win. She probably won't beat her, because they're not going to give Raquel Rodriguez a double champ.
Yeah, I don't see any, yeah.
There's no way Raquel Rodriguez.
I don't see that either.
Is going to be a double champ. Backstage, Kathy Kelly is talking to Chad Gable. She mentions that he attacked Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee. Gable says, that wasn't me. Gable thought it was ridiculous for a fan to jump the barricade. She says he took a sabbatical to learn how to arm luchas. He's also wearing what the other person was. He's like, wearing the same thing he was.
Yeah.
Gable says security at Madison Square Garden is pathetic. And then we see in the back, it's the guy, it's someone else in the mask, in the same outfit, getting arrested. It's like, huh. Oh, well. Maybe he went back, got backstage. He's like, "Hey man, put this on." Mm-hmm. He's like, "Oh okay." Yeah. Wait, no. Women's World Champion Io Sky is with Dakota Kai. Sky then sent to the ring for an interview with Michael Cole. Michael Cole interviews Io Sky. They have a little. They're like, "What you gonna do?" Blah 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 blah. Rhea Ripley comes out. Blah blah blah. Blah blah blah. When does Bel Air get out there? Oh, Cole says she'll have her work cut out for her and she's Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair comes out, and then Rhea Ripley comes out.
Yeah.
They have a little thing, but this is the best part. Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair are having a face to face. They're going after each other. Blah, blah. Rhea Ripley says if she wasn't going to intervene, why was she there? Did she want blah, blah, blah? There's no reason for Belair to be out there. Belair should have let her handle her business and blah, blah, blah. Belair's not happy that she brought that up. Belair says Ripley is not happy that she clapped for the two of them, blah, blah, blah. They get face-to-face. Io Sky tries to get involved, but Ripley shoves her away. She's like, no, get away from me. Ripley says Belair is trying to hide behind Sky, blah, blah, blah. Sky gets involved again, but Belair pushes her away. Some more stuff happens. Io Sky is like, She pulls Rhea Ripley back and just... Does the same thing about her, and then she's like, "I'm the champion. What are you doing?"
Yeah,
it's like, but she's yelling in Japanese, so we probably have no idea what she's saying. It's like, and I'm like, I saw that both. I'm like, oh. She's like, "I am the champion. Like, do not ignore me. You want this, right? You're gonna have to go through me, and I'm Io Sky."
And which the. The triple threat, it's there. It's going to be glorious.
Yep. So, next week on Raw, we have Cody Rhodes and John Cena under one roof. A no-holds-barred match between Penta and Ludwig Kaiser. We have Jey Uso versus Austin Theory, Dakota Kai versus Ivy Nile, and Braun Breaker versus Finn Balor. And then we get to... the moment we've all been waiting for. The main event of the night, CM Punk versus Seth Rollins in a steel cage. From what I've heard, it was a very good match.
Oh, it was phenomenal. Oh, I watched this. It was a steel cage match, of course. It was awesome. They got into the wall and everything.
But they're going after each other. All this stuff happens. Seth Rollins stomps. He goes through the pin. 1, 2. Oh, Punk gets out.
Yeah.
Seth gets by the door. Seth gets close, but he gets by the door and he's just looking.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear the crowd getting really cheery. I'm like, gee, I wonder what that is. And what literally everybody and their grandmother was expecting. Roman Reigns returns, grabs Seth Rollins, pull him out of the cage, which gives Seth Rollins the win.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
But Roman Reigns starts to beat the crap out of him, does all this.
Gets a Superman punch.
Superman punch, all that, spear, and sets him up by the entrance in the cage and gets a curb stomp in.
Yeah. So, yeah, gets a little revenge after the Rumble.
Gets the curb stomp, sets him up on the steps, and he's about to do another one. He's like, I'm going to get him. But then, you know, all the official come in, like, no, don't do it. And while he's standing there, I'm like, go after him. You know you have to. He looks in the cage.
Yeah.
And Punk and Heyman are talking.
The promise, or the deal, or whatever for...
The favor.
The favor.
They're talking, and Roman's just like, Roman goes in the cage and attacks CM Punk.
And,
He looks in the ring. He hits him with a spear. He throws him in the cage and hits him with a spear. And that is the night.
Another 2.5 hour
run. I like how they're doing 2.5. If it's a good fit. Right now.
Yeah, but I would say absolutely.
They're really setting up the Punk Rollins Reigns triple threat.
Yeah, pretty much directly after essentially setting up the women's triple threat.
There's going to be 2 triple threats.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like it. I like this match.
I knew immediately when they, like we said last week, like, oh, you're going to be in a steel cage. You have to end it. It's like, oh, so Roman's coming back next week. Sure enough, Roman comes back, attacks Seth and CM Punk. It's like, all right, now Punk has to look at Rollins and Reigns. Maybe in the next week or so, probably 2 weeks, we'll see the confirmation. Y'all are going to be in a triple threat match. And guess what?
It is official. Yep. And it's going to be glorious. It's going to be awesome. I love it. I love it.
Oh, man. Like I said, we got the pretty much getting the triple threat between Io, Rhea, and Bianca. That one's going to be fun. Really think we're going to get Finn and Braun at Mania. I think this is just going to be a precursor match. It may end a little screwy.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah.
Trying to think of any Mania matches. Oh, Logan and AJ, obviously.
Yeah.
Which I'm not the biggest fan of, but oh well. I just don't want Logan to win. I want AJ Styles to win that match so bad. If it happens. I want AJ to get a win. That's all I want. I want AJ to pick up a good win. Let's quickly do NXT while we're already here. We had NXT Roadblock. Right?
Yes, Roadblock.
It's like, right? Roadblock. And you're just...
Yeah, it's Roadblock. Yes.
And, come on, buddy. There was only 5 matches. Let's talk about the matches that... Well, we can talk about all of them, actually. They all mattered. The Hardy Boys retained against Nathan Frazier and Fraxium for the TNA World Titles. I knew Fraxium wasn't going to win them. Because then they'd actually go to TNA board and WWE's like... they can go every now and then, but they can't go a lot.
Yeah, that's the thing that you got to get into when you cross champions. Of course, getting the big names on each brand and you get these kind of matches. Like, do you really want to swap titles where you get into that? Like, trying to see, like, would they actually swap the title or
I don't think WWE's ready for that.
Predominantly
I don't think WWE's ready for that. We have Jordynne Grace against Roxanne Perez. I think this is like Jordynne Grace's like opening singles match.
I think, yeah.
Her first singles match in WWE. Because she's had tag matches.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, she had Cora Jade. Where she injured Cora Jade. I don't think she injured Cora Jade. I think Cora Jade.
No, yeah, that's right. Yes, I do remember that. Yeah,
but Jordynne Grace picks up the win there. We have Oba Femi versus Moose for the NXT Championship, and I was like, "Oh boy, But Oba Femi picks up the win. Oba Femi's going to carry this title for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's carrying it for a good bit. Yeah.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
We have Javon Evans defeating Ethan Page in a street fight. Cool. But the main event of the night, which everyone was waiting for, Julia, the NXT Women's Champion. Stephanie Vaquer, the NXT North American Champion, Women's Champion. A winner-takes-all match. I thought going in, it's like, there's no way they do a double champion right now. There's no way. Someone's going to get involved in the match by DQ. No double champion. But boy, was I wrong. Stephanie Vaquer is your NXT Women's North American and your NXT Women's Champion.
Yeah, awesome for her.
I was like, okay, all right. Interesting, they're going the double champion route, which I was not expecting. And it feels like she was the one they wanted to give it to more. Here's the other thing. They brought in a lot of people, a lot of women recently. They brought in Julia, Stephanie Vaquer. They brought in Jordynne Grace. What happened to Zarya? Where is she?
She's there. She's doing something mainly with Sol Ruka, I believe, from what I've seen. So, I mean, she's there. She's just not... I know it was really weird how they brought her out, because it looked like they were going to thrust her into the main event scene and have her with the women there. But I guess they just moved, didn't thrust her into the main event scene.
I guess so.
Automatically. I have no doubt, because how she was brought in, she'll get back there. But I think it was also partially a product of them bringing
so many at the same time. It's like, they shouldn't bring back NXT Women's Tag Titles, which they had, and then they got rid of when they combined them. It's like,
yeah,
maybe her and Sol Ruka could go after the Women's Tag Titles. We'll see. Because they're supposed to be defending all brands.
Yeah, and they have. There was a couple.
So hopefully, couple times they maybe have. That's what they'll do with them. But whatever. But that's just NXT. Just a quick cover of what happened on NXT. Stephanie Vaquer, double champ. Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to add for Raw or NXT?
Nothing for those.
All right, that's all for Raw and NXT.
Let's move on to Dynamite now. We are in Fresno, California. Opening the night, we have Kenny Omega coming out, saying that this still him coming back is all wild him. He said before 2012, he was just happy to stand in this ring and said that he's cleared and he's going to try to do this again. But what is even more unbelievable to him, just the support he's gotten from the fans ever since he's come back. Also from the doctors, Will Ospreay, and not only is he back, but he's back with something he never thought he'd be able to hold again, a singles title. And he says he has a slew of people he needs to thank that he's here. And even though it might sound controversial, he thanks Takeshita. He thanks him for pushing him harder of the pay-per-view than I could have ever pushed myself. And the one thing you did besides being a great champion, you made this an international championship. When Tony Khan came up with the idea for this tournament, I thought it was a great idea because I'm going to face the best. I will be watching closer than all of you fans. So, yeah, there is the International Champion Tournament for Dynasty, I believe, is the next one. I think that's the one before All In. I don't remember if there's another one before. But anyway, there's that. He opens the night with that. Interesting that he thanks Takeshita. But we'll see where that goes. Then we open the first match of the night. We have the Ops, which is Samoa Joe, Shibata, and Hook taking on, it looks like, a bunch of probably local talent. And they all three get their licks in, but it was a quick match. And just getting the momentum, we'll see where it goes from here. Maybe trios, it sounds like they're going for. Then we get Ricochet backstage. He talks about, even though he got screwed over at Revolution, he lost his chance at, he lost the opportunity to get a chance at the World Championship. He's still going for gold. Sure, Kenny's belt, he said Kenny's belt looks pretty. And it will look better around his waist. Shibata, and he calls out Shibata, who, I forget which champion he is.
Shibata?
But, yeah. And he says, I know you are, I know what you're capable of, I don't give you the opposition, and not show up on Collision this Saturday. It's still Ricochet time. That's a promise. They're already moving him to Collision. So,
Shibata or Okada?
Shibata.
He's not a champion right now, is he?
Or I don't know, but he called Shibata out and wants him on Collision, which was surprising.
I think he's the one he might be facing in the tournament.
Well, anyway. So, and then there was an announcement next week. It'll be again on Wild Dynamite. Jon Moxley taking on Adam Copeland in a street fight for the title. So I guess they're running it back again already. I had to read that twice.
It is.
And then Swerve Strickland, after his win, will face the winner of that on April 6th. That's not too far away.
He's facing him this Saturday on Collision. Ricochet facing Shibata, yes. And then there's gonna be a fatal four-way.
Yes.
Next week.
Okay. Yes.
On Dynamite.
I forgot I saw that. But then we have Jon Moxley and Cope in the Swerve Strickland will face the winner of that at Dynasty. I don't know what that means if they're running it back already. We'll see on Dynamite.
I don't know about that. New York champion on the line.
And then we have the cameras catching up with Swerve. I think this was after Revolution. And said he's going to make history by becoming the first black AEW world champion. And he's going to make history again at Dynasty. Then Adam Copeland comes up and says, I didn't notice, but I didn't lose tonight. So the chance that by the time Dynasty comes around, you'll be facing me. Good luck. So I'm assuming that Christian Cage was pinned then. So we'll see what happens there. And then we get Jon Moxley talking. I think this is through a camera. He just talks about their match next week. And he ends it saying he underestimated Adam Copeland's perseverance. But there's a reason why he's still world champion, and he won't make the same mistake twice. So, just hyping up the match next week, that will definitely be awesome. It'll be fun to see after Revolution. I just don't know if it's necessarily needed. I don't know what Tony Khan is thinking. Anyway, we get Hologram and Parallel Subs coming out, taking on Brian Cage and Dralístico. With Power Sobs pinning Dralístico for the win. And after the match, we have Mark Davis and Lance Archer come out and taunting Hobbs. We'll see where that goes from here. We get the AEW World Tag Team Champions backstage being interviewed. And MVP says, they're the baddest, now it's time to be the chillest. Take a week off and we'll come back next week. The Hurt Syndicate are the most dominant faction of professional wrestling today. They don't want time off. They want to hurt people. So there was that after their match. Then we get Toni Storm. Just talking. It's pretty much just talking about her wind. Her and all of that. But then Megan Bain comes up, blindsides Toni, and interrupts her moment of celebration. And so we'll see where it goes from there. I'm assuming it's something for Dynasty. Then we get a match in the International Championship Eliminator Tournament. The Beast Martos is taking on Wild Card, who was Speedball Mike Bailey. If you have not heard of him, go watch. He was in Impact before it was changed back to TNA. He had a match with Will Ospreay on a random episode that blew up on social media. I'm not sure if you saw it when it happened, but it was just a phenomenal match between the two of them.
Why does this boy look like he should be acting in Cobra Kai? What the heck?
I know, yeah. I thought he would definitely... I thought he had bright lights ahead of him. I will see what he does here in AEW, but he's the wild card.
Oh, he's Canadian.
So, and then, of course, him with being the... They go off, they have a match here, and we get Mike Bailey getting the victory and punching his ticket to, was it the Fatal 4-Way you said that's next week? Mm-hmm. So, we'll see that. Then we get the Patriarchy being interviewed backstage. Christian Cage says he's refusing to talk to anyone related to Jon Moxley. He said, I'm the undisputed next AEW world champion. When I signed my contract, I said it was for a one-on-one with Adam Copeland. The ref turned it into a three-way. I did not tap out or pass out. I was simply relegating my breathing. But then Nick Wayne steps in and says, you make excuses. You're lying. You're lying to us. If you stuck with a plan, you'd be AEW world champion right now. So you owe this explanation and apology. The Christian Cage, I'm sorry, I have to do this. It's come to this, Nick. And then he shoves Nick Wayne and says, how many world titles have you ever won? How many titles have your biological father ever won? Going back to that. And just seeing there's a little tension in the family right now. I don't know if we'll see the family as the family much longer. We get MJF after Revolution backstage. He apparently punched a mirror. He looked at himself and he called himself a fraud. So we'll see where that leads up. And then MJF, we'll find out right now. MJF, he comes to the ring. He says, I have a splitting headache. My hand hurts. My body hurts. Goes on, says, congrats, Hangman. They chant your name and all they want. They chant it because I'm not setting more. And I'll tell you why. The fact of it is, I'm 10 times smarter than you and your stupid fans will ever be going on. But then MVP comes out by himself. And there's MJF. And then they embrace in the ring. They hug each other. MVP's like, I've been doing well, but I came here to talk to you. I'm proud of you. You're not the same age old kid. Talk about how he met MJF. Just propping up MJF. And then he said, I was able to help you once a long time ago, and just perhaps I might be help you again. And then tries to hand him a business card. MJF pushes it away. It says, I'm not the bright eyed kid I was all those years ago. I don't need your help. I'm Jeff and I was the world champion for 406 consecutive days. MVP grabs the mic and says, focus on the word was. And then he just hands his card. MJF takes it this time and then walks away. And so we'll see where this happens. They tried to get Ricochet initially. Ricochet refused. We'll see what MJF does.
MJF with the Hurt Syndicate. Hey, listen, there's a pretty stark difference between the rest of them, but we're going to move on from that.
Anyway, we're moving on to Max Caster issuing an open challenge.
No, he's had this open challenge.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, remember he's at the open challenge, like, who could beat me? Apparently everybody. Yes.
Yeah, and then Kunosuke Takeshita is answering this open challenge. And Max said, hey, there's no way you're here to fight me. I'm the best wrestler alive. I'd kill you. What are we doing? You must be here to fight me on the Don Callis family, right? Maybe Imezra could do the Don Callis family. Maybe I could do the thing you couldn't do and beat Kenny Omega. Then Takeshita doesn't like that. Hits him with a forearm and gets him with the Raging Fire and pins him to get...
get the win. It's like basically just...
Yeah, so
every single Max Caster match recently has just been.
Yeah, we'll see where this ends up. I don't know if they're doing a long term thing. What they're doing. Chris Jericho is then backstage, and he has Gravity's mask. He said, "The temperature of this room hasn't changed, hasn't it, Ben? Has changed, hasn't, Bandito? I stole your brother's mask. I made your mother cry in front of you, Bandito." How do you come back from that, knowing the disappointment she has for you? Your life is changed forever, Bandito. Okay, we'll see what happens on Collision. Because I think that's where this has been happening a lot. Then we get Penelope Ford taking on Willow Nightingale. It wasn't a long match. We get Willow Nightingale picking up the win. But then, after the match, Penelope gets Willow with a steel chair. Then Chris Statlander comes in the ring, and then kicks a steel chair into her face. Then Megan Bain comes in, blindsides Willow and Chris Statlander with a double clothesline. So we'll see. And Megan Bain, she seems to be putting everyone on notice. She got them. She got Tony Storm. We'll see we'll see where she goes next. We got Mercedes Moné backstage. And Mercedes asked for Billy Starks, who I think was in one of her backstage interviews before, to join it. And Billy's like, you have accomplished a lot here. You've accomplished a lot. Wrestling is our life. Next week, I'm looking to change into a champion. And then Mercedes... He says, you're way out of your league, but next week I'm going to prove there's a price to pay when you mess with the Mercedes. So, we'll see what happens next week. We got Will Ospreay in the ring for an interview. Not a match, just a Tony Schiavone interviewing him. As we said, he's made it out of Sunday alive. The scariest bit is from his like Kyle Fletcher. I was struggling to keep up with him. One day, Kyle Fletcher will be a world champion, and I hope we meet again one day. I can still say I'm the better man. And goes on and on. And then talks about next week, Adam Copeland's got his title match, and then at Dynasty, Swerve has his title shot. So when do I call my shot? It makes me wonder when it matters most. And he looks up to the I'm sorry, All In sign. Hanging from the banner hanging in from the rafters. And he says he wants to be in the main event at All In Texas. And the only way he can get there is by entering the Owen Hart tournament. And plans to go through everyone who stands in my way. If it's Moxley the King, a warning, an assassin is coming for the throne. I want to be the world champion because my name is Will Ospreay and I am on another level. That is awesome.
Bruv.
Bruv. Yes, I would love to see Ospreay main event All In. That would be a banger. Then we get Jay White backstage. He talks about congratulating Will on Revolution. And talked about, I think this was on Collision, or I don't know, I think it was in the match where he accidentally hit Copeland with the briefcase that has the world title in it. He said, everyone wants to know if I hit him with purpose. The answer is no. I said, we'll have that man's back, and he has a chance at redemption next week. And Swerve, I've given everything I can to take down the Death Riders and Jon Moxley, and I'll be damned if I allow anyone else to take my rightful place to be the number one contender to the AEW World Championship. We'll see where that happens. Everyone wants the championship. I'm assuming a lot will revolve on the Owen Hart tournament.
Yeah.
Then we get Hangman Adam Page backstage being interviewed. But then MJF bumps into him. And Page says, Max, last week you tried to light me on fire. I don't believe you. When you do something like that, you really have to mean it. Sunday you let the mask slip and I was right. You care what these people think about you. Then MJF says, I'm going to call your bluff. You're on your high horse because you beat me. Here's what happens next. I go on being the greatest of all time. You're going to scratch your call all the way up the mountain, and then you'll come tumbling all the way down. When your mask slips off, I notice that your biggest insecurity is that you don't think you deserve their love. And you're right, because they're going to be sick and tired of waiting for you to win that world title. But I will, and I will be laughing my way up to that mountain. The page says, well, we'll see, won't we? So I'm assuming we're seeing a lot of people that could be in the Owen Hart tournament now. Then we get, speaking of tournaments, we have another international championship eliminator tournament, that being Orange Cassidy taking on Hechicero. I butchered that one. Jim Ross also is joining the commentary for this, and this is the main event of the night, with Orange Cassidy picking up the win there, and then Mike Bailey walks out. He's smiling there, points at Orange Cassidy, and that ends Dynamite. So I mean, we got some stuff lined up for Dynasty. The Owen Hart tournament, I think, seeing a lot of potential competitors. The only one who's really looked for it is Will Ospreay.
Bruv.
But definitely we see a lot of people wanting that world championship. The international championship eliminator. That's been going on. We'll see what that happens with the Fatal 4-Way. But, yeah, well, there's a lot of exciting stuff coming up. Dynasty is really close. April 6th.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks before Mania.
So I guess it's 4 weeks from Sunday. Three weeks from Sunday.
I was going to say that math ain't mathin'.
The 3 weeks, yes. 3 weeks from Sunday. So, I mean, it's enough. We'll see a lot in the coming weeks. The Owen Hart tournament, of course, the annual Owen Hart tournament. That'll be exciting to get started back up. That always brings a lot of excitement. We'll see where you. I think yeah, we'll see how far it reaches. How much all the stars. We'll see. We'll see who could win it. I think that'll lead up to All In. I remember that was where we saw last year Mariah May turn on Toni Storm.
Yeah.
And then lead to all that we've got. But that's all I got.
I don't got anything to add.
So that's all we got.
Now let's move on to Friday Night SmackDown. We are in Barcelona, España. They show some outside shots of, you know, people out there, and then the crowd chanting, ole, 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 ole. I'm guessing.
I wasn't able to watch this at all, but I saw the clips. The crowd was hot, and it was awesome to see that.
Yeah. Oh, dude, these next crowds better be reasons why WWE needs to keep going to Europe.
Well, I mean, we've already seen it. It was last year.
Backlash.
Or, dude. Backlash, Bash of Berlin.
Backlash was
Clash
bigger.
At the Castle.
Backlash was so much bigger.
Of course, Backlash.
When they were singing the song for AJ Styles and the stadium was shaking.
I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about that, man. Just all that. That was... Oh.
But... At ringside, we hear some OTC chants when he's not there. But LA Knight, he comes out first. He's out there after just winning the United States Champion. Apparently, it is a very loud crowd chanting "Ole, ole, 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 ole." And like, it almost leaves Knight speechless, uttering "Yeah!" to a pop. To like crowd popping even more. You, me, everybody, los todos. Don't know what that means. What? Los todos? Is a Spanish term translated to all of them, every one of them. We're making history. Mm-hmm. He points out this is the first SmackDown in Barcelona, which gets another round of LA. He basically saying, I'm the United States champion. Look, we're doing great here. And then Jimmy Uso comes out. Uso comes out. I'm here to congratulate him because I'm desperate. I'm tired of the speed bumps and hurdles in my way to get to WrestleMania. My only way is to challenge you for the United States tag title. He says tag title. He's probably so used to saying tag title.
I know. Yeah, that was the initial thing when Jay split off, was it being like, oh, he's not going for a tag title. It's weird. Okay. Anyway,
but then this brings out Solo Sikoa, who starts running down Knight before saying the only man who should be getting a title shot is Jacob Fatu. Solo either has some jitters of his own or is mocking Jimmy for as he talks about blah, blah, blah. But Uso runs down Solo after he lost to Roman Reigns. This angers the bloodline that they rush in. It's Solo, Tama Tonga, and Jacob Fatu. They have the upper hand against Knight and Jimmy. But then Braun Strowman comes out. And then Nick Aldis is like, you know what? Six-man tag. Go. And they make the match.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner of the match is Braun Strowman, Jimmy Uso, and LA Knight, with Braun Strowman getting the power slam against Tama Tonga, but Solo immediately goes to attack him, leading the bloodline, keeping Knight and Uso fall, blah, blah, blah. Keeping him aside, Fatu lands multiple moonsaults against him. It just ends in a fight. Fatu is finally satisfied, blah, 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 as he heads back in the ramp. We get a graphic for B-Fab versus Charlotte Flair before a recap of the Cargill Naomi situation, blah, blah, blah. Some sun factoids about WWE and Barcelona lead to an outside shot of the lovely city and blah, blah, blah. We head to an empty arena earlier for the sit-down with Jade Cargo, who says, physically she's fine, but emotionally is a different story. She's angry with Naomi painting herself as a victim, then claims Jade was using whatever everyone sells for her own gain. She is a tab. She is asked about the moment, blah, blah, blah. Cargo says she barely remembers anything. Barely remembers much except seeing Naomi run away from the scene. As she continues to address, Jade is interrupted by Liv and Raquel. They start mocking her. And then they say, Jade's like, you know what? Next week, me and you, Liv. Me and you. And she's like, okay, haha. Make sure there's no cars to be pushed into, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay. Backstage, you get a, from what I've heard, was a very not good promo from B-Fab, because she's trying to speak in English. Santi, who we watch, he said, he's like, it's not good Spanish. It's not good. He's like, he got up like one of the first phrases, he's like, this is not very good Spanish. It's like very, like, it sounds like a very rudimentary, like basic Spanish.
Hmm.
And he's like, I don't. Let's see, she's confusing a lot of words. But he's like, it's like, okay, whatever. He goes into commercial break. Back at ringside, we get B-Fab waiting for Charlotte. Oh, okay, I guess she got a jobber entrance. B-Fab versus Charlotte Flair. They have I'm guessing a decent match. Charlotte Flair gets the win by locking in the figure eights. They try to call for it, but they're like, nope. And she's like, no, 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 I'm not going to let go. Blah, 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 until Tiffany Stratton comes in. And then they also have a little brawl. It's like, okay, they're brawling too. All right. What's next? Drew McIntyre had his big moment ruined, and he's not taking kindly to issues. It's just Drew McIntyre. Back at ringside, The Miz heads down for a special international Miz TV with Cody Rhodes. And they have promo time for they just talk about WrestleMania. We get Las Vegas. Back at ringside, Miz starts to make an introduction, but Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte are still fighting. Like, oh, there they go. Insert anything can happen, WWE. Plus, the crowd chants and security goes back to try to calm down the situation, but we see Stratton leap off the screen. Don't know what that means.
I'm assuming, like, the entrance?
Maybe. In the way of the security, the crowd is electric for as they pull her away, blah, blah, blah. They get him away. He's like, okay. And Miz is like, all right. Now here comes Cody Rhodes. Cody music steps out. We really come to a song as the crowd steps out. Whoa. Sorry. Anyways, Rhodes walks down the ramp. Cody enters the ring. The crowd continued and blah, blah, blah. But the music cuts it all off. Blah, blah, blah. I think he said he's ready to hit the hard-hitting questions. It was already out of Tiffy time. And Cody cuts Miz TV even shorter by putting him in a palm strike. Then does the crossroads. He immediately just walks in and just,
yeah.
Shut up, Miz. He grabs the mic, saying he doesn't want to talk to anyone except John Cena. Cody's music hits once more for pop, and then he just leaves. Like, I don't want to talk to anyone but John. Backstage, we see Shinsuke Nakamura talking to Nick Aldis about getting a rematch for the United States Championship before Damian Priest interjects, looking for Drew McIntyre, who is not there. Nakamura makes a remark to Priest in Japanese, and Damian responds in Spanish before saying he wants a fight. It almost makes the match official for tonight, before we go back to ringside, blah blah blah. Some other stuff happens. Back from break, we get a vignette for a new luchador. It looking like it was Rey Fénix, which
absolutely
looks like we're getting Rey Fénix too. Before heading back to the ringside, and we get Damian Priest versus Shinsuke Nakamura. That's a good match. Near the end, Drew McIntyre pops up on the announce table to watch on. Right here, he's there. This distracts Priest long enough for Nakamura to get near pinfall. Can Sasha counter to South of Heaven? But Drew comes in, forcing the DQ. McIntyre continues to beat down, only pausing long enough for Shinsuke to hit Kinshasa before leaving the ring to allow Drew his moment of continued retribution. He lays into Priest before bringing him out on the ring, attacking Damian, blah, blah, blah. You get here, oh, Drew McIntyre chants, which I like that. Oh, Drew McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
But he just continues the attack on him. That's pretty much it. He just pretty much, I'm going to beat the crap out of you, and we're going to get a WrestleMania match. Right? Right. Backstage, we hear from DIY ahead of their tag title defense later tonight, mocking the Street Profits for before Motors and Machine Guns pop in, blah, blah, blah. Outside shots of Barcelona take us look at some FC Barcelona players. I'm assuming Roy might know. Before heading backstage for a word from Chelsea Green, flanked by her secret Hervis.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys heard me or not. The secret Hervis.
Yeah, it's. Yeah.
As she addresses what it's been going. She's been going through. Zelina Vega pops in and says she looks to become the new champion, but Piper Niven interjects by saying she's got to go through them to get to the champ. She accepts, saying after next week, Chelsea and the United States champion are all hers before walking away. Back at ringside, Randy Orton makes his way down for his next match against Carmelo Hayes. And we go straight into that match. Randy Orton versus Carmelo Hayes. I'm guessing it's a good match, but we get Randy Orton picking up the win. Orton brings Hayes to his feet, looking to show respect, but Hayes declines. And this leads to an RKO, selling Mello back down to the mat. Oh, he brings him up. He's like, hey, man, there you go. But he's like, no, man, another RKO. Orton looks to pump the man's head off, but Kevin Owens rushes through the crowd to pull him out of the ring. Orton chases him off as we cut away. It's like, no punt. He's teasing the punt. He's teasing the punt. Backstage, Jacob Fatu cuts a promo promising to dog walk Strowman when the two run back next week on SmackDown. We hit the ringside as Gunther makes his way out. What you doing in Barcelona, man? We get a mysterious vignette with smoke and the number 4 before heading back to ringside where Gunther talks about the Road to WrestleMania. Blah, 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 blah. He turns his attention to offering another challenge, saying that there was a kid from here in Spain. He runs the person talking to about before welcoming Axiom. Hey, wait a minute. Axiom makes his way down the ramp because I guess he's from Spain. And they have a match. Again, looks like a pretty good match. When Gunther picking up the win, which got to make him strong. Which I'm not happy for Axiom because now he's lost 2 recently.
Yeah. Which, I will say, from the clips, he did look pretty good in that match for a single. So, anyway.
Yeah, and he hits him, he gets him in another sleeper hold in after the match, just so, I'm better than you.
Yeah.
Up next, we hear from Paul Heyman after what he went down on Raw, and they have a little video package of what happened on Raw. Back at ringside, Paul has a need to address 2 items of the day. First order of business. Today is Roman Reigns Day, because this is the official release of the WWE 2K25 video game. And he has to say that a lot during this promo. They're like, hey, promote video game, promote the game.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, fine. But Heyman asked the fans to wait until SmackDown is over so we can keep the ratings high, especially for my segments. The second order of business involves his friend, the best in the world, CM Punk. Crowd cheers for him, but Heyman says it's not CM Punk Day, and it sure isn't, nor will it ever be Seth Rollins Day, and the crowd sings that song. Punk says, I hate that song, before hyping up next week of Bologna, Italy, which they all boo, is like apparently, I guess, Spaniards hate Italians.
I guess, yeah.
Huh. I don't know why. He's like, don't boo me. All you gotta do is buy a ticket from Cheapo Airline to get there. The crowd boos this, to which Heyman's, oh yeah, he get a plane ticket and head over. It's not like Mussolini is sitting there keeping them from showing up. It's like, geez, okay. He promised that Reigns will address everything further because Reigns is going to be on SmackDown next week. And that is not a prediction. That's a spoiler. It's one of my most underrated lines.
Oh, absolutely.
Such a good. We get some hype for next week's SmackDown before heading backstage where the Street Profits are approached by Legado del Fantasma. They have a little talk. Basically, just some hype for the match, I guess. We go backstage to see Gunther talk to Jimmy Uso, trying to get him to talk some sense into Jay ahead of the World Heavyweight Championship match. Jimmy cuts the ring general down, saying that he will drop rank in the title at WrestleMania. Yeet. Gunther says he was mistaken about Jimmy's maturity before walking away, and we head back to ringside. Cool. DIY make their way to the down and make their way down to the ring, and it's main event time. We have DIY versus the Street Profits for the WWE Tag Team Champions. Very good match. They're both very good. They're all very good wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
And your winner and new WWE Tag Team Champions, the Street Profits.
New. That's
new Tag Team Champions. Good for them. I'm glad I'm seeing like, some of the titles aren't staying on wrestlers for like too long.
Yeah.
This is good. But
however, this goes it seems to be flip-flopping a good bit over the past, albeit couple months, and it has a flip-flop a lot, but it also goes back to Nick Aldis showing how everything's connected.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're going to see another tag title ladder match.
Probably. We'll see. So that in SmackDown, obviously. I mean, all it did was really confirm that we're getting some more matches. Like, there's nothing really that they said that's going to happen yet. Other than matches they've already announced. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't announced Damian versus Drew yet, which they're going to do. They haven't announced a tag title match, which they're going to do, or some type of match. But we'll see what they have going forward. I thought it was a good match. I thought it was a good SmackDown.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I'm really excited to see what they do for the rest of this European tour.
Yeah, I mean, we have John Cena and Cody Rhodes in the same building in
Brussels
on Monday. And just, I mean, just, this is the first time we're seeing Cena as well after Elimination Chamber, so that's going to be interesting.
Let's see, so, yeah, Raw's going to be in Brussels, Belgium, SmackDown's going to be in Bologna, Italy, the next Raw's going to be in Glasgow, Scotland, SmackDown's going to be in the UK, Raw's going to be in the UK, and then the April 4th they come back. And it's in Chicago. Chicago. You want to go to Chicago? Hey, you want to go to Chicago?
It's a little far.
Just go to Chicago. Why don't you want to go to Chicago?
But yeah, so I mean, yeah, that's... I'm liking that they're doing live shows internationally now.
That's good for them. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, even these crowds, yeah.
It is funny to seeing, I've seen some, like, Americans have a problem with it. It's like, what, no, I can't watch it live? That's stupid. Why are they doing this? It doesn't make any sense. And it's like, huh. How do you think the Europeans felt?
I know, there is an they element literally of have to that do, like, as well.
For them, they had to deal with that all the time. Like, they can't watch it live. Like, you do sometimes. Because for... What time is it in Italy right now? Hold on. Italy time. It's 5:20. They're 5 hours ahead of us. So you think an 8 p.m. 8 p.m. is our Raw and SmackDown. That's 1 a.m. for them.
Yeah.
Some of them are like, I can't stay until 1 a.m. to watch... a 3-hour show. Like, it's ridiculous. It's like, oh, now I get to watch it at, like, 8 p.m.? Sure. I'll do it.
Yeah, and I mean, even when they're here, it's not that bad. I mean, it's... Sure, it's 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
It's earlier in the day, but I mean, it's not a terrible time.
It's not. You just have to stay off of... A WWE doesn't say anything. They don't put any spoilers out.
That's right, yeah.
WWE, like, their social media, they don't say anything about what happens. They wait until 8 p.m. and then they talk about, oh, this is happening live. You just have to stay on social media for a few hours.
Well, with Raw, though, because, I mean, them advertising, yeah, it's going to be live on Netflix at 3 p.m. in the U.S.
That one, you might have to... Yeah, whatever.
But those are the outliers. But yeah, I agree. Like with this one, they didn't air it until 8 o'clock here on.
But USA. I think that's fine.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal. Like some people are making it, but just chill. Just don't go on your phone for like 3 hours.
Yeah, I know. I was doing something, so I couldn't watch all of Elimination Chamber, and so I did my
you
best.
You were avoiding social media like the plague.
Yeah, sure. It wasn't. That long, but I mean, yeah, it was.
Yeah, but it's whatever.
Yeah.
WrestleMania in 5 weeks?
That sounds right.
Hold on. 5 weeks. 5 weeks till Mania, baby.
Yeah, and it's heating up. Yeah.
Ready for Mania. I'm so ready for Mania.
Absolutely. I am too.
I love WrestleMania. It's such a good. pay-per-view.
Biggest show of the biggest year, show, man.
They gotta do it well. But I don't think I have anything else I want to say for SmackDown. Do you?
No.
All right, that's all for SmackDown, and that's all for this episode. We hope you enjoyed listening. Let us know whether you liked it or not. Please, please, please share it with your friends. If you know friends who like wrestling, tell them, like, hey, check out these two knuckleheads. They talk about wrestling. You might like it. You might be like, hey, man, they're wrong. But, hey, share us. But you want to take it away, buddy?
Yeah, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Have a great day, and God bless.